Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And to introduce our lesson, we want to read verse 11. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. The Apostle Paul was the inspired writer, and this is one of his letters that he sent to Timothy, who was a very dear friend of Paul. He was a younger man, and he served the Lord as an evangelist. And Paul wrote to him concerning his personal conduct, also concerning things that he was responsible to teach others. So 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are letters that are especially precious to those who preach the gospel. But in this verse, Paul wrote, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Notice that in this verse, Paul first instructed Timothy to flee certain things. We need to back up a few verses to see what's under consideration when Paul said, "You flee certain things." Well, what are those things that Timothy was to flee from? Back up to verse 3, we will see that he was referring to things that oppose the doctrine which is according to godliness. Verse 3 says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." Those verses help us to understand what Paul was instructing Timothy to flee from. He said, "You flee certain things." These are things that do not please God. As a matter of fact, they're evil according to God's word. And it would be important for Timothy to stay away from those things. And he was to teach others to do the same thing. But then, in the latter part of verse 11 of 1 Timothy 6, Paul told Timothy to follow after other things. First, he said, "You flee certain things." And then he said, "You follow after other things which are good." Now he lists them out for us: righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Those are things that Timothy was to follow after. Now, this first Lord's Day of 2024, we want to concentrate for a little while on the admonition to follow after godliness. It's important for us to follow after all of these good things, but that's a lot for one lesson. So we want to concentrate on some matters that relate to godliness. Well, what is godliness? Godliness is reverence or respect toward God. Sometimes you'll find the word piety used. Well, piety is another word for godliness. So when we talk about godliness, someone has suggested that that's a shortened form of God-likeness. Well, godliness is being like God. Well, we're to have reverence or respect toward God. How important is it that we fear God? Well, Solomon said it's part of the conclusion of the whole matter. In the end of a book of Ecclesiastes, he said, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Well, Solomon didn't necessarily use the word godliness, but he did talk about fearing God, and that's what godliness is. So for a little while, we want to consider this admonition to follow after godliness. We need to consider these things as we go through this year. It's important for us to have a good influence upon others who are observing our behavior. And there is always someone observing our behavior. We might think that we don't have any influence, but that's not so. someone that you know, maybe someone that you just casually have contact with. Someone is observing your behavior, and you have an opportunity to influence them for good. Well, if we emphasize godliness in our lives throughout this year, think about the influence that we'll be having upon other people. Let's begin by pointing out that many scriptures in God's Word teach us to pursue godliness. Now, I won't list out all the passages that teach us to pursue godliness, but we do want to look at a few to illustrate the point that the Bible places great emphasis on this matter. We've already shown that we're to follow after godliness, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. But in addition to following after godliness, the Bible teaches us to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Notice once again that Timothy was instructed by the Apostle Paul to turn away from certain things, to flee certain things. In this verse, he mentioned profane and old wives' fables. He said, refuse those things. Rather, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. That's another way of saying that God wants his people to pursue godliness. Let's go to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, and let's read verses 11 and 12. These verses teach us to live godly in this present world. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Well, Paul was writing to Titus, who was an evangelist on the island of Crete, about his personal conduct as well as the things that he was responsible for teaching other people. Paul told Titus that God wants his people to live godly in this present world. That gives us hope for being in good standing with God when the Lord eventually comes back. And there's another verse that we want to consider, or another passage. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're looking at a few of the scriptures in the Bible that teach us to pursue godliness. We're to follow after godliness. We are to exercise ourselves unto godliness. We're to live godly in this present world. I want you to notice that Peter ties in godliness with the Christian graces. Verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1. And beside this, giving all diligence. Now that has to do with the effort that we're to put forth to do what Peter's about to tell us what to do. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity or love. Here, Peter teaches us very clearly that God's people are to pursue godliness, and in doing so, we're to give all diligence. That is to put forth the maximum effort to do what the Lord wants us to do. Now, how important is it for us to add all of these graces to our lives? Well, Peter tells us in the verses that follow that if we do these things, we will never fall. It is entirely possible for a child of God to fall away from the Lord. But there is something that can be done to prevent that. Peter says, give all diligence to add these virtues to your life, these wonderful graces, one of which is godliness. He said, if you do those things, you won't have to worry about falling. Sometimes we sing that song, Blessed Assurance. Well, that's blessed assurance. These are just a few of the verses that teach us as God's people to pursue godliness, and how grateful we need to be that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Since we're in 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Well, as we pursue godliness, as the Bible teaches us to do over and over again, we need to place great emphasis on activities that promote godliness. Let me mention a few. What about Bible study? What about prayer? What about meditation? What about worshiping the Lord? And what about serving others? Those are some activities that will help us in pursuing godliness. We can't just sit down in a chair and wait for God to pour out a bucket of godliness upon us. That won't happen. However, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If we will follow the instructions that he's given to us, the end result will be godliness. And that pleases the Lord. And by doing so, we'll have a good influence upon other people. In addition to teaching us to pursue godliness, the scriptures also contain some warnings that relate to godliness. Now, these warnings contain some very important instructions that we need to follow. Let's go back to 2 Timothy for just a moment, chapter 3, and read a few verses beginning at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. We learn from these verses we're about to read that God is not pleased with those who only have a form of godliness. There's a difference between true godliness and having a form of godliness. This know also that in the last days or later times, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now notice this. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This is a strong warning against only having a form of godliness. A person can appear to be godly, and I can't help but think about the Pharisee that Jesus talked about in the Gospel of Luke, I believe it's chapter 18. He went to the temple to pray. And basically, he was concerned about telling everyone about how good he was. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, adulterers, fornicators, or even as this publican. I can almost see him pointing over at that publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, he had a form of godliness, but Jesus said, he did not go down to his house justified. Rather, the publican did, because he smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew what he was, but he wanted to be godly. He was asking God to forgive him of his sins and to help him to be the kind of person that he should be. Well, not the Pharisee. He had a form of godliness. He wasn't being godly. I think we can see the difference. These verses give a strong warning against having a form of godliness. That is, pretending to be godly while actually not being godly. That's a very strong warning. Well, to help us understand what the Lord wants, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. We want to read verses 9 and 10. Now, these instructions are addressed to Christian women. But there's a practical point to be made from what's written. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefastness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. I want you to notice from these verses that those who profess true godliness will be adorned with good works. Rather than give so much attention to the outward appearance, Paul was teaching Timothy that what's really important is true godliness. That's being adorned with good works. So the Bible gives us a very strong warning against having a form of godliness. True godliness will be adorned with good works. Let's consider another strong warning in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read verses 28 and 29. Now remember that this letter was written to Christians in the first century who were undergoing great hardship. It seems that it was some type of persecution. We know it was tribulation of some kind. But it was taking a toll on these early Christians. This letter was written for the purpose of encouraging them to remain faithful at all cost. And a very strong warning is given in these verses. Whereby we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Well, we love to preach about the love of God. We love to study about the love of God, and we should. But we also need to remember that God is a just God. He is righteous God. And here the writer of Hebrews describes him as a consuming fire. Well, we want to serve him acceptably with reverence and godly fear, having the proper respect for God and his will. That's a very strong warning, but we need to give careful heed to it. And let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we need to point out from the verses we're about to read that developing or pursuing godliness is an important part of being ready for the Lord's return. I don't know about you, but I'm finding more and more often I'm thinking about the Lord's return. I am in no way saying that he's about to return, because no man knows when the Lord's coming back. But I can tell you this, when I see the condition of the world, the condition of our country, I'm ready for the Lord to come back. And I remember how John concluded the revelation. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, in order to be ready for the Lord's return, and we certainly want to do that, it's important that we develop godliness. Now, notice how Peter, in dealing with the Lord's return, talked about godliness. 2 Peter 3, starting at verse 10. Early in this chapter, he's revealed some very important information concerning the Lord's return. Verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. These verses teach us very clearly that developing godliness is essential for being ready for the Lord's return. We don't know when he's coming back. We know that he is coming back. We know that God has appointed a day, according to Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. But no man knows the day or the hour. And the Lord says, watch and be ready. Godliness is a key matter in being prepared for the Lord's return. Well, these are some verses that contain some very important warnings that we need to give heed to when it comes to pursuing godliness. But in addition to giving us these warnings, the scriptures also teach us that blessings, wonderful blessings, are in store for those who follow after godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. First Timothy 4 and verse 8 says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Here Paul makes a contrast. He makes a contrast between bodily exercise and godliness, which is actually spiritual exercise. You know, there is some profit to bodily exercise. Every once in a while, I think about a statement that Teresa's dad made to me many years ago. He didn't give too much heed to it, but he passed on what the doctor told him. You see, in 1974, he had a serious heart attack that almost killed him. And the doctor said he'd be fortunate if he lived 5 years. Well, he went beyond the 5 years with the good Lord's blessings. But I remember something he told me that the doctor told him. The doctor said, Bill, I can't tell you that it's going to make you live longer. But he said, exercise will make you feel better. Now, bless his heart, he didn't give too much heed to that. Sometimes he did. But there is some profit to bodily exercise. We understand that. However, it's limited in its scope. It is limited to this present life. Now, let's contrast that with godliness, which is spiritual exercise. I want you to notice that it's profitable unto all things, and it relates to that life which is to come. Well, there's a blessing in store for those who follow after godliness. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Physical exercise or bodily exercise helps us as we go through this life. Spiritual exercise, which is godliness, will not only help us in this life, but it helps us in the life to come. Look at chapter 6 and verse 6. We're pointing out the fact that blessings are in store for those who follow after godliness. We've already considered the warnings. Now let's consider some blessings. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Notice that being godly, along with being content, is profitable. There's great gain in that. I think we've already shown why, because godliness helps us to prepare for the life to come. Let's consider another important blessing. It's revealed in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." The first part of this verse says that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. When Jesus gave his model prayer in his great Sermon on the Mount, he taught us to pray for deliverance from evil, didn't he? "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Well, the Lord knows all things, but specifically we're wanting to point out that he knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. He's given us information in his word that will help us to go through periods of temptation. But we also had the blessing of calling upon him for help. The writer of Psalm 119 said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." That's Psalm 119 and verse 11. We've already pointed out that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us his word. And as his word abides in our hearts, it will go a long way toward helping us overcome temptation. And Jesus set the great example when Satan came to him right after his baptism and tempted him in the wilderness. Jesus had fasted for 40 days and he was hungry. And here comes the old serpent and placed some great temptations before him. But Jesus basically told the devil what the Bible says. He quoted three times in the book of Deuteronomy. He applied the teaching of God's word to the particular temptation he was facing. Consequently, he submitted to God's will and he overcame. Our Lord set a great example before us. That's one reason why it's so important for us to place great emphasis on Bible study, so that we'll know God's will and then we can apply it to the temptations that we face. That'll help us greatly. But the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. That's a great blessing. Well, I think we all agree that the Lord has certainly blessed us by allowing us to begin a new year. It seems like we were just doing this for 2023 yesterday, and now we're beginning 2024. I remember when I was a kid, I used to hear people say, you know, as you get older, the years go by faster and faster. Well, I understand that now. When I was a kid, I didn't understand that. But it makes a whole lot more sense now. Seems like we just started 2023, and now we're starting 2024. Well, the Lord has blessed us by allowing us to begin a new year. As we go through 2024, though, let's follow after godliness, as the Bible teaches us, and let's flee those things that oppose it. The Lord will be pleased, and he will bless us in return. And think about the good influence that we'll have upon others who are observing our behavior. We face some difficult situations almost on a daily basis. Our faith and our Christianity is put to the test. But if we follow after godliness, it will make quite an impression upon others who are observing our behavior. Well, I appreciate your good attention. You've listened well, and I hope that this lesson will help us as we go through this new year. If you'd like to respond to the invitation, we'd invite you to do so as we stand to sing the first verse of the song that's been selected.